Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Blaustein, and today we're going to be studying Nehemiah Chapter 3. At the end of Chapter 2, Nehemiah made his plans to rebuild Jerusalem's walls known. In response, enemies made themselves known, accusing Nehemiah of rebellion against the king. But Nehemiah is undeterred. Chapter 3 is a flurry of action as the walls of Jerusalem and the towers are rebuilt. This chapter is written in a third-person point of view, describing the building project. Mixed into these verses listing the geographic locations of different sections of the walls that were built and who built them are some key details. First, from the description of the labor, it's clear that the work on the wall was divided, and different groups of people were in charge of different subsections of the wall. It was kind of like an adopt-a-highway program, with each group taking responsibility for their section of the wall. According to Rashi's commentary, all of these different groups weren't building at the same time. Each group would start on their section when the previous group finished. What that meant was it was almost like a relay race. Rashi's commentary is basically emphasizing a sense of community, because each builder was deeply aware of the group that came before them and the group that came after them. The first section was the Sheep's Gate. As verse 1 tells us, Vayakam el yashiv ha-kohen ha-gadol ve'achav ha-kohanim vayivnu et shar ha-tzon hema kidshuhu vayamidu delotav v'ad migdal ha-mayah kidshuhu ad migdal chananel. Then el yashiv the high priest and his fellow priests set to and rebuilt the Sheep Gate. They consecrated it and set up its doors, consecrating it as far as the hundredth tower, as far as the Tower of Hananel. Then, moving counterclockwise, the psukim describe additional sections of the wall that were built by different groups of people. Each verse follows kind of like a formula, like we see in verse 2. Ve'al yado banu anshe Yericho, ve'al yado bana Zakur ben Imri. Next to him, the men of Jericho built. Next to them, Zakur son of Imri. Etc., etc. In total, there are 41 different groups of builders, and they represent different groups of people of this society: Kohanim, Leviim, gatekeepers, artisans, tradesmen, and they come from different cities from within Judah, the larger province, outside the city of Jerusalem. The locations of these different groups of people seems to emphasize that Nehemiah managed to inspire everyone to join in. And to emphasize this, when Shalum of Lochesh builds his section of the wall, verse 12 emphasizes Val Yado Hechazik Shalum ben Halochesh, Sar Chatzi Pelech Yerushalayim, Hu Uvnotav. When Shalum of Halochesh got to building his section of the wall, even his daughters joined in and built right alongside him. But despite that, we get a hint in verse 5 in almost the throwaway line that, of course, not everyone joined in. Verse 5 describes a section of the wall built by the people of Tekoa. Ve'al yadam hechaziku hatekoim ve'adirehem lo heviu tzavaram ba'avodat adonehem. Next to him, the Tekoites repaired, though their nobles would not take upon their shoulders the work of their lord. Tekoa is a city in the west bank of modern Israel. At that time, it was inside the larger province of Judah. This little detail reminds us that the opposition that Nehemiah faced in his building project wasn't just limited to provinces outside of Judah, like Sanballat and Tovia and Geshem, but even within his own province, even within Judah itself, there were people opposed to Nehemiah, and there were people probably who were suspicious of Nehemiah's plans for the revitalization of Jerusalem as a religious and political focus. The key word here is revitalization. The psukim in this very long chapter emphasize this throughout. As each section is being built, the words used to describe it in Hebrew are bana, to build, but also used quite frequently is chazak, to strengthen or repair. For example, look at verses 3 and 4. Ve'et shar hadagim banu bnei hasna'a, the sons of Hasanah rebuilt the fish gate, and then contrast that to verse 4. Va'al yadam hechazik Merimot ben Uriah ben Hakutz. Next to them, Merimot son of Uriah, son of Hakutz, repaired. And the verse continues, Va'al yadam hechazik Meshulam ben Barachiah ben Mishezavel. Va'al yadam hechazik Tzadok ben Bana. Meshulam son of Barachiah, son of Meshubazel. Next to him, Tzadok of Bana repaired. Because the work that they are doing isn't just building something new. They are repairing something that they already had. This idea was probably quite comforting to the people. It's so daunting to build something from scratch. But the usage of this word chazak indicates to us that Nehemiah was inspiring them to restore the legacy that existed during the First Temple era. And that seems to be the case practically as well. Although the exact locations listed in this chapter for the towers that were built along the walls are really unknown, some of the geographic markers are known. And it seems like Nehemiah and his crew were following the lines of the city walls that used to be before Chizkiyahu expanded them. Verses 31 and 32 take us back full circle, quite literally. Verse 32 reads, Uvein aliyat hapina l'shar hatzon hechaziko hatzorfim veharochlim. Between the corner loft to the sheep gate, the smiths and the merchants repaired. This brings the project to a close. The circumference of the wall is complete. The sheep's gate was where the Kohanim began their section of the wall, and the smiths finished repairing their section up until that same location. So the circle is complete. But before the people can celebrate the fact that they rebuild the circumference of the city walls, the text switches back to first person. And Nehemiah now describes for the third time the vocalized opposition from Sanballat. Sanballat mocks Nehemiah and his efforts with a series of rhetorical questions in verse 34. Vayomer lefneacha v'chel shomron, vayomer, ma ha-yehudim ha-amelalim osim, ha-ya'azlu lahem, ha-yizbachu, ha-yechalu bayom, ha-yechayu et ha-avanim, me'arimot ha-afar, ve-hema srufot. And he said this in the presence of his brothers and the Sumerian force. What are the miserable Jews doing? Will they restore, offer sacrifice, finish one day? Can they revive those stones out of the dust heaps, burned as they are? Sanballat and his fellow opposers aren't just trying to mock Nehemiah and the builders. He's also scaring them, because as the verse emphasizes, he says this while standing in front of Chel Shomron, standing in the presence of the Sumerian army. But the unstated answer that Nehemiah has to all of these questions is, of course, yes, yes, we do want to restore, we do want to finish, we do want to revive these stones. Nehemiah then shares a prayer. This is the third time in the book of Nehemiah that we are told that he prays. In this prayer, he appeals to Hashem not to allow the builders to be made a mockery. He asks Hashem to look at their enemy's sins. The prayer seems to end kind of abruptly, to then tell us another detail about the building project. This break in narrative seems to suggest that Sanballat's mocking words and Nehemiah's prayer were said near the city walls, near the construction project, so that the builders themselves would hear and be frightened, and maybe even stop building. The chapter then ends in verse 38 by going back to tell us about the status of the building project. Vanivne tachoma vatikasher kol hachoma ad chetzia vayhi lev la'am la'asot. We rebuilt the wall till it was continuous all around to half its height, for the people's heart was in the work. Despite Sanballat's opposition and his ridicule and even his show of force, as verse 38 tells us, the people's heart was in the work. So Sanballat did not achieve his motives. On the other hand, although the circumference of the wall is complete, Vatikasher kol hachoma ad chetzia, they only managed to build a wall that is half the height that it used to be when it originally was standing. According to Rashi's commentary, we're meant to read this verse to understand that only once they completed the entire circumference and it got to half the original height, only then vahi lev la'am la'asot, only then were the people enthusiastic about the work. Rashi's reading is emphasizing something that is already apparent, which is that Sanballat's mocking words definitely had an impact on the people. It made lots of sense why Nehemiah would prioritize closing the circumference of the wall rather than trying to ensure that the wall reached the original height that it did during the First Temple era. But it seems like this little key detail speaks to some of the doubts that the community of Shivat Zion had. Despite their best efforts to build and repair their legacy, their rebuilt Jerusalem doesn't quite reach what the Jerusalem of their memory was. And as we'll see in the next chapter, this realization will begin to chip away at the people's resolve and optimism. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilo Nishmat Rose Forman, Rachel Rachel Bat Aryeh Lieb, and Rachel Zeitlin, Rachel Bat Shlomo.